Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. But something is blocking you. And I've been talking all this week to Tricia Frost and about her book, Unbound, Breaking Free from Life's Entanglements. And Trish, if you and Jack could get free from the mess, I mean, you were sabotaged from day one, from the mess you were sabotaged in, anyone could get free. What is the number one issue you find as you talk to people about being free from their strongholds?
Well, I think it's abandonment in the people that I relate to, because so many people, you know, they have basically been abandoned. Why it's, you know, if it's been from a father, or if it's been from a spiritual father, or your, you know, of course, your father of origin or whatever, that's how you begin to relate to your heavenly father. You know, well, you can't believe you have value. And I see that over and over again, that when people don't feel that they have a place of value, they live life below and beneath their potential. You know, they just can't believe that their purpose is supernatural. And I believe with all my heart that nobody, and that's why I love the name of your show, is because I think that it is the most supernatural thing we can do, to live our natural lives pursuing, you know, the things that have wounded us, the things that hinder us from living out our destinies. How do we define our destinies? Well, I think you define your destiny at some point in time by uncovering the things that have hindered you from living and walking in your destiny. And so I see it over and over and over again, people that just feel like they've been abandoned in life, so they use the excuse, well, I can't. And I've taken I can't out of my vocabulary. I can do all things through Jesus. You know, I can live my destiny. I can live my purpose, you know, whenever I've got, you know, when I'm on a journey pursuing purpose and destiny. And, you know, after Jack died, I felt abandoned. You know, I felt abandoned by God. I felt abandoned by Jack. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I have lived my life dependent on Father God to always be there, or Jack to always be there. I've never had to be the lead person. I've never had to be the one in charge. And now what am I going to do now that I have this huge ministry that's just been dumped in my lap, so to speak? I had no clue, Sid. And so as I begin, you know, to pursue, okay, Father God, what is the things that's hindering me? Well, first of all, it was the belief that I had been abandoned. I had to deal with that belief, you know, structure. That's a lie. I have not been abandoned, because the Word tells us that He'll never leave us or forsake us. So if I've not been abandoned, then, Father, I need for You to show me a plan. You know, what is the plan? What is the purpose for my life? And he's doing that day by day, step by step.
Yeah, but you had something that I have to tell you sure provokes me to jealousy. Now, I know it didn't start out that way, but you're kind of minding your own business, and the Archangel Michael shows up. You've got to tell me about that.
Well, I'm just sitting out on my porch. I live, thanks to Jack's mother, who passed away and left us a beautiful enough money to buy this beautiful piece of property on the Inlet Waterway, which was fulfilling Jack's dream. And so we built this beautiful house, and Jack was able to only live there 6 weeks before he went on to be with the Lord. But I've lived there since Jack's passing. And so, you know, at the beginning of this year, you know, Jack has been gone 7 years, and although I miss him and have had to deal with abandonment, life goes on. And so we're starting our 8th year of new beginnings, and I just love the fact that, you know, 8 represents new beginnings. So I'm sitting out on my porch and just having my devotions. I don't even think I'm fully awake yet, and all of a sudden I look up, and there is this huge angel. You know, and he is huge, and he's sitting on this beautiful horse, and he's suspended over the waterway in midair. And I look up, and I'm just, you know, you hear about things like this, Sid. I'm sure you see a lot of this, but I'd never experienced seeing an angel, but only one other time. And so I'm sitting there, and there he is. And I guess just being female or whatever, my curiosity is piqued. And so I began to ask questions. Who are you? And that's when he told me that I am Michael, the warring angel. I'm Michael of the angel armies. And so I asked, well, what are you doing here? I should have known the answer to that question. But I didn't. I just didn't dawn on me. And he said, it's taken me 7 years to break through the heavenlies on your behalf. But we are here now. And when he said we, I only saw him, so I'm thinking, who is we? And at that moment, it's just like a veil was removed, you know, from behind him. And all around, suspended in midair, all up and down the waterway, was angels. As far as you can see, it was angels back to back. And so I asked him, I said, what is this all about? And he goes, we are here on your behalf. And you can ask the Father to commission us, to give us assignment to whatever Father's doing in your life. You know, at that point, I had no clue. And still today, you know, I mean, that was at the first of the year. And still today, those angels are there. And in my prayer time, I ask the Father, Father, would you show me what the assignment is for my angels today? And one by one, we ask, you know, I ask the Father to, you know, give these angels assignment to have charge, because the Bible tells us he will give angels assignments to have a charge over you. And look at all the stories in the Bible to where Father God sent ministering angels to minister to his servants. And so they're there. And every day, and especially when I go out and I share and I, you know, teach on the orphan.
But have you seen anything different since that encounter when you minister to people?
We have seen such an increase in our ministry, and it's not an increase of finances. I'm not looking for that. I have seen an increase in gifts, in the giftings that Father God has given each one of his children. You know, whenever I travel now, I hear words of knowledge. I see people. It's amazing to me to where I'll be just minding my own business again, and I'll be teaching on whatever topic the church has brought me in to teach on, and then all of a sudden this light will go off over somebody's head.
Now, when you say a light, what, explain to me what you see.
Well, I see a light go off. It's like a floodlight, and I'll be standing up, and you know, you'll be in a room with anywhere from, I go to seminars and I teach anywhere from 100 to 1,000, and I'll be teaching, and I'll be going through my points, usually on the orphan mindset, and then I'll look at someone, and that light will go off. And I literally have to pause my teaching, and I just listen for a minute. I just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come, and he begins to just fill my thoughts. He begins to fill my heart with words that he wants to speak to that individual.
Give me an example, a real-life situation that happened where a spotlight went off on someone, and you gave them a word.
I was in North Carolina doing some meetings. The orphan heart sonship is usually my favorite topic. And all of a sudden, there was this couple right in front of me, and this floodlight went off over their head. And I'm looking at them, and I get the word builder. And so I had the couple stand up, and I just look at him, and I told him, I don't even remember the whole word, but basically the word was around building. That Father God, you're called to be a builder in the kingdom of God. And I told him, I said, son, I don't know what you do in the kingdom of God, but I know that God has called you to build, build, build. And there's a dream in your heart that you've just kind of forgotten about. And the Lord is going to take that dream. He's breathing life back on that dream, because that dream is to build in the kingdom. And he started crying. And then I looked at his wife, and I just had her stand up, and I said, and sweetheart, the Lord has not forgotten you. You feel as though you've been forgotten, or you've been abandoned or rejected, and he wants you to know he sees the desires in your heart. And so I asked her, I said, I feel like, I asked her, I said, have you ever thought about adopting children? And I asked them, I said, y'all have two children, and they actually had two children. And I said, do you want any more children? And she just began to weep, and she couldn't have any more children. And so I said, well, the Lord, I said, I see adoption. There's something. You guys are going to adopt children. Well, after the meetings, I went on and started preaching again and just sharing. I hate to say preaching, but just sharing. And so after the meetings, they came, you know, walking up to me, and they both were still crying. And he told me, he goes, "I'm a builder." He goes, "I have a construction company." And then she began to cry, and she told me, she goes, "I just took my name off the adoption list because I had lost hope that we would ever get a child." And the dream that they both had was they felt like the Lord had told them that they were supposed to go to another town and that they were going to build a church. But the doors just never seemed to open up, so they just lost the hope for that dream. Well, that day, life was breathed back into that dream, and they began to dream again. And the pastor just, he got so excited for them because he's been trying to encourage them to dream that dream again, you know, to ask God to breathe life on it. So we prayed, and I commissioned one of my angels. I said, and I just asked the Lord to give that angel assignment to cause this dream to come to fruition. And I haven't spoken to them but one time since then, but they are making plans to actually go to this town and to, I think it's going to be like another campus for the church that I was at, but to go to this other town, and they're going to start a church in that other town. And she went and she put her name back on the adoption list.
You know, I'm thinking about your description of the way you were and the way your husband was. If you two hadn't been free, you'd never be able to be freeing all these other people. But think about all the people that are listening to us right now, Trish, that they want that freedom for themselves. They want that freedom for their family. That's why we've put together the best of your best. It's called the Freedom Package. It's your book, Unbound, Breaking Free from Life's Entanglements, Strongholds No More, and three CDs on the subject of first healing your heart and then healing the heart of your family. I don't know a more important thing for you to get a hold of, to learn, and then do. Available for a gift of $40. It's called the Freedom Package. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.